I'm Anne Wilson, the Wealth Chef, and this is the Primal Alternative Podcast.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
You're listening to the Primal Alternative Podcast, inspiration for your evolution. Here we are again, the Primal Alternative Podcast. This is episode 111 with an incredible teacher of mine and many women and men around the world. It's Anne Wilson, the Wealth Chef. And I came across Anne about 2 years or so ago when I realized that working hard and trying to tighten my belt was not working, and that I needed some other kind of strategy. I had no clue where to start or what to do, and had very narrowly dodged getting into a real estate buying project that would have seen us owning 13 houses and being $9 million in debt. Yikes. That is not something that I wanted to get into, especially with all of the different uncertainties that have been in the world over the last few years. The next step that I took was to get involved with a financial advisor who basically told me to not worry my pretty little head about anything and to fill me with all fear and dread of all of the absolutely wretched things that could have potentially happened to us, and saw me spending thousands of dollars in different insurance policies. Which all of which was not getting me any closer to being free, which is what I wanted to be. I wanted to be free. I wanted to run my business. My husband wanted to run his business. But we knew that we needed some kind of other safety net plan that was going to be there for us when we got old, and that could, to you know, get us through to retirement and beyond. And I came across Anne Wilson through Denise Duffield Thomas's community, which Denise Duffield Thomas talks a lot about money mindset, which is really helpful. But what I wanted was a plan of, you know, how to create financial freedom, what asset groups to invest in, how the heck was I going to find any money from my already stretched budget, not even a budget. I hate the word budget. It's just like diet, never works. But let's just say I barely had any money to spare at the end of the month to start investing in assets that were going to grow and earn us an income. I had no clue whatsoever. And then I came across Anne Wilson. I got into her World of Wealth and did her Financial Freedom University, which to say it was life-changing would be an understatement. The biggest thing that I found from working with Anne is how much having a plan for our money and our financial freedom has impacted my health. So it's meaning that I can sleep better at night. I don't have so much of that, you know, waking up in the middle of the night going, oh, how are we going to pay for this? Oh, how are we going to pay for that? I know that you will relate because I know I'm not alone. And, you know, we both work. We've both got successful businesses, but still we were finding it really, really difficult. And I know there's people in much worse situations that don't have that income coming in, but somehow it was coming in and it was going out. And the same was happening in my business. So I have taken what I learned in Financial Freedom University, especially the concept of squeezing the juice and being a wealthy spender, and applied the principles into my business. And last year, absolutely burnt down my business and built it back up again, reskilling myself, getting rid of a lot of things that I'd outsourced that I'd told myself were too hard. And I was spending thousands of dollars a month. And again, money, lots of money coming in and lots of money going out, and not a lot in between for H and her family. So Anne has very, I can't tell you what a buzz it is to have Anne on the show, because Anne is just one of my idols. She's one of my best teachers ever. And she's going to talk to us about why creating financial freedom is an essential part of living a healthy life, and why just working hard which is sometimes at the sacrifice of our health and relationships, isn't going to get us there to financial freedom. Where do we actually start? Do we need to pay off all our debts first? Do we need a big lump sum to get started? Spoiler alert, no, you don't. And how do we get started on the path to financial freedom? She talks to us about the brilliant concepts of being a wealthy spender, which is basically about finding out what you value the most and joyously spending money on there, on those things. Like, we still buy amazing food. We still spend money on massages, but we don't spend a lot of money on lots of other silly little subscriptions that had come in and stupid insurance policies that we didn't need. And squeezing the juice, which is something that I never thought I'd have time for, but has actually saved us and liberated thousands of dollars so that we can then, you know, put that into things we want to, whether it's assets or it's food for the family or it's paying down the mortgage, whatever it is. So she's going to explain to us what these concepts are and how they contribute to financial freedom. Now, if you're like me and around the age of 50, not yet, but nearly, you might be thinking, have I left this too late? And that's why it's so inspiring to hear Anne's story of how she was completely broke and became financially free in 8 years and has been financially free for the last 18 years. Hugely inspiring. So we're going to learn about why empowering yourself and taking agency over your own freedom is way more empowering than just outsourcing to a financial planner. And we're going to hear about some of the success stories of other women who have also done Anne's work and Anne's courses. So Anne is the best-selling author of The Wealth Chef. She's a wealth expert and also on the hit TV series on Channel 4, which is Save Well, Spend Better. She's a trainer, speaker, entrepreneur, and financial empowerment activist. And she helps people master this vital life ingredient called money and use it to create freedom of choice so they can live the life they really want. Anne's first career was as a civil engineer, where she worked all over the world on massive transport infrastructure projects. And after she'd achieved all she wanted to in the engineering world and created her own financial freedom by learning how to invest and create assets, Anne decided to leave the infrastructure world and instead focus on helping thousands break free from debt, financial restriction, and the most one, anxiety, by teaching people how to manage money better and learn how to create real wealth generating assets. And in the process, she's become a best-selling author, TV star, star on the Primal Alternative podcast, an internationally renowned speaker, and created a million US online training business through which she's also helping people master their money stuff so they can get out and live their greatest lives with money supporting rather than enslaving them. Contribution is super important to Anne, and 100% of the royalties from her best-selling Hay House published book, The Wealth Chef, are donated to the Small Enterprise Foundation, which is a foundation dedicated to eradicating poverty by empowering women through microloans combined with financial literacy. And 10% of the profit from her training programs goes to Caring for Girls, which is an organization providing sanitary pads to girls in poor communities so they can attend school. She is some woman. Anne's been featured in the Sunday Times, the Sunday Express, Psychologies, Glamour, Cosmopolitan, Women's Health, the Huffington Post, among others, and is regularly interviewed on TV and radio around the world. And now she's here for you on the Primal Alternative podcast. So without further ado, let's jump into the show. Anne, it's so cool to have you on the show today. And let's dive in with what you had for breakfast.
Helen, I'm about making life automated where you can, the good stuff, and then make manual the stuff that ain't good for you. So in the week, I'm really straightforward and simple. Every day, it's a beautiful bowl of oats with some nut butter of sorts. Gives me my protein, gives me my base, but I'm a coffee addict as well. So there was a big juicy mug of coffee thrown in there as well.
That sounds delicious. It sounds so yummy. So I've got some amazing questions for you today, and I'm so excited to ask them to you because I think a lot of us feel that, you know, living a healthy life, living a fulfilling life of wellness isn't anything to do with money. But I would love to start with this question, Anne. Why would you say that creating financial freedom is an essential part of living a fulfilling and healthy life?
Oh, Helen, there's such an amazing parallel between our money and our well-being, but also with food. And at its core, I truly believe we are only given three key inputs that we get to play with to create the most meaningful, fulfilling life. One is our energy, one is our time, and one is money. It's really, these are resources. And so at a very high level, you know, I'm deeply committed and curious to what makes a wealthy life, a life worth living, one where we're able to fully participate in it in every aspect and just explore this crazy gift we are given. And so, you know, what you do is so key, looking at our health, you know, and I look at the health span of people. You know, a lot of people talk about lifespan, but let's talk about, you know, health span. We want to be able to enjoy our time, but be healthy in it, be able to participate in it. So in parallel, there's also a wealth span. The reality is money weaves through every aspect of our life. Our ability to buy great food and ingredients, to have shelter over our head, to feel safe. And so there's this parallel that comes through. We can have a great health. We can have wonderful, you know, spiritual and relational connections. But if we have deep depletion of the resource that enables us to engage in life free of fear, restriction, limitation, this is such a limiting aspect for so many people. And when you bring this third element in, I think this is how we enable these, and they're resources, they're inputs, they're not things that define our lives. But without them, it's really hard to fully, I think, experience who we really are and what we can be.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that health span. That's a really good way of looking at it. So, like, I think most of us, most of the audience listening to this podcast, you know, we're around the 40s, 50s, early 60s, and we're all working hard, right? We're all working hard to pay down the mortgage, bring up families, look after ourselves, and sometimes, you know, working hard at the sacrifice of our health and our relationships. And why would you say that just working hard might not be an effective strategy for creating financial freedom, Anne?
So Helen, what is so fascinating, and especially for us women, for most humans, we grow up being taught how to work for money. And so our primary education around financial well-being is, how do I earn money to bring it in? And so there's this relationship of value exchange, which is very important. I earn, I put time in, and I earn money. The problem is a wealthy life and being able to also be, then we get less, you know, woo and esoteric. Let me talk about just the practicalities of being able to stop working one day, being able to feel safe and secure, to be able to have choices. It's made up of two key components. The one is to have a wealthy money flow. So this is how money flows through our life. It's the money coming in. So we do need money flowing in. We need that incoming, that income aspect. But it's what we do with it and what we create with it as it comes through our life that actually creates our lived experience and then how it flows out. So one element is this money flow, let's call it. But a key element, which a lot of people neglect and don't truly understand, is the deep roots, the foundation of sustainable wealth, are their assets, investments. And this is our balance sheet. This is our assets minus the things we owe, those debts. And so often, the building up the assets is put down for another stage. You know, when the kids have left school, when I've got this, when I've got some freedom. And especially then when we become to women, we historically and traditionally have been taught to manage the money flow and get great value from it. But the longer term building real assets, the roots of financial well-being, the investing part, is a skill set that often we were never taught, never exposed, or outsourced, you know, partner, or just too busy, or it seemed like scary. There's so many reasons why not. And without building up this asset base, we can never do the stop the hard work. We can never stop working. And so then what happens is the focus becomes, how can I get more? Well, maybe, you know, the hustle culture, work harder, or maybe I can sacrifice. So a lot of the focus then just becomes on the money flow, which is critical. But if I can spend less, or so the two sides, maybe I can earn more or manage the outgoing. But if we can shift the focus, and this is what I'm so passionate about, is helping people with both of these elements, but really start saying, how do I start building up these assets, start building up these investments that don't need a lot of money, they're not as complicated as we're led to believe, because that is the only way we start changing the slogging. And Helen, I read a beautiful phrase last night as I was just contemplating sort of life as I do, and it was going, how we live each day is how we live our life. And I think one of the deep challenges is we can get so caught in this endless work hard for money, sacrificing our health, our relationship, believing that at some point in time down the line, it'll be different. And you know my story, and you know, there's in the Wellship book and elsewhere, we won't go into that, but of deep sacrifice. And it's a deep reprogramming I've had to let go, because there's also an aspect of we're taught that that's what makes us worthy. If we work harder. So there's an aspect of focusing on just the money stuff. We do it because we weren't taught another way. We weren't taught how to invest. But then, and this is why I love the lens of looking at our lives through money, is it also becomes a way of a sense of worthiness. If we work hard, then we deserve it. If we sacrifice and we're worthy of love, then we can, you know, then we can have the life we want. There's this deferral. There's often a intergenerational martyrdom story that's passed down between women about sacrifice is what we're meant to do. So I know I'm rambling on a bit, but until we change this, we cannot also change the trajectory of what I believe us women are being called to do, to be really be able to show up fully in the world, where we actually can engage in with our full strength, with our full confidence, with our full voice. Because this element, this depletion, the sacrifice, I think is the thing that's preventing so many, the gifts of the feminine, of the woman being brought into the world.
Oh, it's not rambling at all, you know, and it's all just making so much sense and just like, yeah, just pure gold coming from you. I love your work, and as you know, and I love that moment when you realize, it's like that kind of moment of inner readiness where you are working really hard, you've tightened your belt as much as you possibly can, and then you start to realize this isn't working, like there isn't going to be any more money, more time down the track, you know, and then you start to realize, okay, I need to have a different strategy, which is why I, you know, enrolled in your Financial Freedom University and started to learn the tools to make my steps towards financial freedom. But I remember trying to, you know, come into your launch workshops and in being in the world of wealth and just kind of wanting that silver bullet, you know, like what's the one thing that I need to do to start achieving that financial freedom, you know, and just wanting all those questions asked, like, do I need to be debt free? And, you know, I've got friends who are like, you know, approaching 60 that haven't got any investments because they're still waiting to pay off their mortgage, and everyone assumes that you need it, you know, when you get a big chunk of cash, you know, maybe an inheritance or something like that, or a tax return, or you sell a property, you need a large sum to get started. But that's actually not true, is it, Anne? So tell us, where do we start with our kind of our first step towards achieving that financial freedom?
Helen, you described so well this devastation and the reality for most people, because there is just this fog around what is financial freedom, what is financial well-being, what is wealthy. Often we can use those languages. There's this implied thing of what we can see. You know, the Instagram feed. And that's the reality, because you can't see somebody's debt statement. You can't see somebody's investment balance. You can't really see that peace of mind that comes from that confidence, knowing, I've got choice. I could leave a relationship that I didn't like, or if something happened to me or my partner or my income level, the family will be okay. These are the key things. So I just really upfront want to just give two definitions. For me, wealthy is being able to have choice. It's firstly almost building up through the chakras, if we want to sort of go through going, do we have safety? Do we have access to be able to have expression and choice, to be able to creativity, to be able to feel confident that we don't have to please or appease or perform, to be okay, that there's these financial resources that enable us to then start contributing, expressing, going out. So that means there are, and then you're financially free when you have enough assets. These are investments that can be stock market, real estate, fixed income assets. There's about 10 different asset classes, which, as you know, we sort of teach bringing into this portfolio. But there's this basket of assets, really important. It's never one thing. It's never that, you know, that one stock tip or that one business. It's this portfolio that gives you safety and certainty that is a big enough size now that you can feed off it forever because it sustains. It is like that porridge pot that I eat every morning. But instead, you know, I eat it and the next day it's back again. And so there's these assets that are constantly growing in value, earning income independently from us. So essentially, when we are financially free, when the assets are now doing the hard work instead of us. And so we have that choice. And for this is really important because it's not just a feeling. It gives us a feeling, but there actually is a number we can create. So this is where we have to start. It's just understanding, oh, finally, it's not some weird, you know, what does wealthy mean? What is financially free? There's a number and each of us can work out what is the lifestyle we want to be living? What's the price tag of that? And therefore, what is the value of these assets? And it's a straightforward, very simple piece of algebra to work that out. Because once we've got that, then we start understanding, okay, what are the components that get me there? And this is the healthy money flow. So this is what income is coming in, what is going out, and am I creating and living? You know, how am I getting the most from that? Not this sacrifice, but actually really coming at it with an energy of getting value. But then most importantly, we shift our focus from more income to how do we grow that net worth? So that net worth is building the assets minus the debts we have. And you know, you ask the question, you know, should we pay off our debts first? And this is one of the most dangerous things people can do because assets will do most of the work for us when it comes to creating our financial freedom. We've got to plant that seed and then we let that tree grow. Or if we use the metaphor of a snowball, we've got to get that first little snowball going and then we roll it down the hill and momentum, compounding, the asset does the work because an asset is anything that can grow in value, the capital value, and it can generate income. So now we plant the seed and then it goes off and does work. It's like the most ultimate, you know, the best employees we could all dream of. But the problem is we have to plant that seed and then it needs time. So when people are waiting until the kids' education is paid off or the debts are paid off or when they're spare, that first seed doesn't get planted. And this is what's so dangerous because all we need to be doing is planting that seed. But the longer we wait, the harder it is to get there. And so this shift to say, let me just understand what assets are, then get those going. Because if we understand that net worth is made up of the value of the assets minus our debts, we need to be building those assets so they can be growing and while we're paying off our debts. But we could also go deeper into these different kinds of debts. So paying off a mortgage on a home should be one of the last debts, liabilities that are paid off because you can get your assets working at a much higher rate and then your assets pay your mortgage for you. And so this is just a different way of thinking and a different approach to life, which most of us have never been exposed to. But once we can start having an asset first based approach to life, our lives are just transformed.
I absolutely love that your financial freedom number. I thought that was so good. And the whole exploration around what being wealthy looks like for you as an individual, because you know I come from the working class north of England. For me, wealthy people are wankers. I have a lot of rich people are wankers kind of backstory. And then it was really interesting to kind of delve into that, you know, the exercise that you do where money is this, money is not that, wealth is this, wealth is not that. To get exactly what you said. Okay, so for me, being wealthy is having that choice, having the the freedom to live the day that I want to live, to be able to eat the food I want to eat, to be able to, you know, just have all of those things that make my unique, juicy life, my unique, juicy life. And it was nothing to do with being in a Rolls Royce or traveling first class or wearing gold jewelry or all of those sorts of like dynasty and Dallas kind of images of wealthy people that we've been brought up with. Yeah. It was just brilliant. And two of the concepts I loved the most about Financial Freedom University is the first one is being a wealthy spender, because it's almost an oxymoron that you can be wealthy and spend, because surely if you're, you know, wealthy, you're saving your pennies and you're miserly and, you know, you're real tight ass and you don't want to spend very much. But being a wealthy spender is the most liberating thing ever. And I love how you ask us, what the bleep do you want, you know, to get to that point. Well, I know that I value this and I don't value that. So therefore, that's how I can be a wealthy spender. And the other concept, Anne, is squeezing the juice, right? Which I never thought I'd have time for ringing around my service providers and getting a better deal. But literally, I have saved thousands of dollars, which then, I mean, but when I first started Financial Freedom University, the first thing you ask us to do is to say an amount that we can put aside. And I thought, I do not have any spare cash to put aside for any investing. This is a joke. Yeah. And now, you know, it just goes automatically every month into buying assets. I don't even have to think about it because I've used my equations that you give us to put some money aside to pay myself first, put some aside for my cash safety net, which has caught us more times than I want to admit, which has been brilliant. So can you tell us a bit more about the being a wealthy spender and squeezing the juice concepts, and what are they, and how do they contribute to our financial freedom?
Oh, hell yes. And you've just described so beautifully that really starting to understand that wealthy is a way of being. It's not just a destination. It really is this ecosystem of behaviors, mindset, practices, you know, frameworks that we can then automate and rest in. So it does, there's a lot of behavioral elements, just shifting focus a tiny bit, and then practices. And so being a wealthy spender and squeezing the juice is first all about getting that wealthy money flowing through our life. And Helen, I completely get you. Again, when I started out, it was like, how do I work harder? And then how do I squeeze me instead of squeezing the value out of what I spend money from? The only way I was ever going to feel safe and secure and one day maybe be able to do the things I want was if I could somehow control my desires, have no needs, live as frugally as I possibly can. And just, I became a bitch. It was horrible. It was, you know, my first marriage blew up, I think, largely with that, because it was everything about what I couldn't do. It was all about no. And it was about deep suppression of self. And I think there's a lot of story that we're led as women around our desires, sensually, sexually, our hungers, that there's a lot of shaming in it. And so money was also an element for me of quite a suppression and fearful element, you know, that I almost had to shame myself to be smaller. And that didn't work very well. You know, that just blows up in a big, messy money drama. And, you know, we can look at health impacts of this sacrifice, this diminishing of our lives. So when I started going, hang on, what if I don't even know who I am? What do I really want versus what of my time, my money, my energy, am I spending trying to fit in, trying to please, trying to do the right thing, hoping that that will make me feel safe, successful? And so one of the really underlying lessons that have been huge in my life and weave through my teaching is though to really have to own, there is nothing any of us need to do or can do to be worthy of love, of acceptance, of being, we're already born that way. So as long as we're trying to do anything to feel safe, to feel secure, to be successful, as seeking that outside of ourselves, we doomed like this endless, almost sugar rush cycle Whereas if we can start and say, hey, what if I'm already enough and I get to experiment and play with this amazing life to do all the things I want to do as an expression of my worthiness, what would that be? What would I just love to do? What would I stop doing? What would I start doing? And then looking at that filter of then going, well, what would I do with my time? And then what do we do with our money? How much of our money is focused on the things that we really get value from, lights us up, versus we feel they're the obligatory things. You know, we've got to have X type of house. The kids must go to such and such a school. We must have that kind of car. We must live in that kind of place. You're meant to just have that kind of, I don't know, cable TV or whatever that is. There's so many unconscious spending patterns that come by just because we think that's what we're meant to have. And then often the deprivation or that sacrifice comes from the things that actually bring us joy. So if we can start that spending from the other side and radically get rid of the depletion spend, those ones that come because we think we should, and we radically increase the things that bring us joy, I think we find that when our tanks are full up, a lot of the knee-jerk and emotional kind of reactive spending just starts disappearing. You know, a fully satiated woman who is full of herself, full of joy, full of just topped up, isn't a hungry, starving wolf. She's able to come into life in a fuller way. And there's an amazing side that, you know, we just find there's so much more value. So being a wealthy spender is having to start at the back end, not at the front end. You know, we could talk for an hour just on this concept, because another thing that comes is a lot of people go, how much do I earn? Okay, let me match my lifestyle to that. So again, the life is put second. We are put second. We're saying, how much is coming? Let me match that. And so most people end up in a break even or the borrow more money flow, where they go, well, we're earning X amount, so therefore we can live in this kind of house, live that kind of a holiday and do these things. Instead of starting and saying, well, what is my lived experience? And therefore, what's that price tag? And so working backwards. So this applies to our lives, our businesses. If we start to say, well, what do I want? How much money is needed? Then we can work out the plan. But most people are the other way. They sort of receive the scraps from the life. And it's the wrong record. So we say, well, what does being a wealthy life for me? And then I'm going to be a wealthy spender. I'm going to direct that money to it. And so also, I don't like the word budget, because that also seems like quite a restriction. Instead of saying, well, what is my spend plan? Where am I choosing to direct that money? And we really start taking radical self-ownership for the life we're getting to live. Because when we take this approach, we can no longer, you know, bitch and moan and blame it on everybody else. We really have to start going, I get to choose where my time and my money and my attention goes. And the results that I get are mine to own. You know, there really are no obligations in life, Helen. They're only consequences. No. So then we go, I get to choose the consequences, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever. You know, we can bring all sorts of moral judgments around it, but when we can radically go, what the bleep do I want? And it's a lifetime question. Yeah, you know, I know that I'm still going to be asking myself that question as I slide sideways into the grave, having just squeezed the juice of this thing called life. Because I think there's this beautiful exploration of that. But the more and more I'm able to direct my money, my time, my energy to truly with congruency go, these are the things that fill me. And I know there were other parts of the question, but I love how when I also really wanted to help people around their relationship with money, teach them how to invest, manage their money, the real practical side as well as the behavioral element of it. I also thought, well, you know, if I'm not driving that car, living in that certain kind of house, how will people judge me? Because that's what wealthy is. That's what a lot of people think. And so my own journey to also go, you know what? I love being in the bush. Most of the time, I look like a bag lady. I love wandering up and down the street. But that's my life to live, you know? And then this is what wealthy is for me. And you know, Helen, I see what you do with your amazing work, your products that you create, your business, that congruency there, these different alternatives that wow, imagine a world when we're all truly using our resources in the most expansive way, which is creating and expanding. So on that side, so this wealthy spender is just so key for me. And then squeezing the juice is then going, what a privilege it is to give leadership to the money we have in our life. When we truly understand that money is just an exchange of value, then we say, how do I ensure I get the maximum value from it? And it's, again, it's not about, we shouldn't negotiate because what does that make me? When we can, notice the story, or, I'm so busy working hard for money, I don't have time to look at what's flowing out. And when we can put in automated practices, or just once a year on the big money day, go, okay, I'm going to look at insurances, for example, or am I getting value from that? Or just things that, those little subscriptions that sneak in and go, no, I'm going to make sure that I get the most from the money that's flowing through my life and get the value from it. As you say, it's amazing how much we liberate. My team and I do it every 6 months in our business. We look at our business outflows. I do it every 6 months in my personal life. As you know, in the Wealth Builder community, we once a year do the squeeze juice. It's just a fun process looking at all of those outflows. And it's not from an energy of less. It's from an energy of more. And I think that, for me, is the key liberation.
I love it. It's like the biggest buzz too. I have a little spreadsheet now for my, I do Squeeze the Juice annually in January, because that's quite a quiet time in my business. It's the middle of summer here in Australia, and I just get on the phone and I get my husband on the phone as well. And we're like, woohoo, I've just saved $250 a month on this one. And we add it up and we've squeezed this much. And it's amazing. I think the last round of Squeeze the Juice, we liberated $1,600 that was just going to boring things like insurance policies that we didn't need and different excesses on, different parts of car insurances and stuff that we didn't even need, like on these crazy, things that we didn't want. So now we can channel that money into spending it where we want and adding to our assets, which is so exciting.
And that's it, now starting to drive that into those assets. And what's so cool, I mean, you're saying that's the latest round, that's on top of one. So often we can also, and this is the short-termism of gratification. Often we say, I don't have time to do that. Well, why should I bother to do that if I'm only going to save, $250? Because one of the big challenges we have, and this comes then to investing, and we don't fully understand compounding. It's quite hard for us humans to think in an exponential way. We're so taught this one in, one out. We work and we get this one-to-one exchange. We earn that money. But you do a bit of work, you save that 250, but that's 250 every single month. On and on and on. Now you take that same 250, now you plant that seed, you invest it in an index tracker in your super or just in your straight discretionary account or some other investment. That seed is now planted. Now that 250 starts growing. It earns income, it grows in value. Now that's expanding. So the compounded impact of these actions is so enormous, but it's often very hard for us to really understand that impact. And I guess the similar thing happens in health. It's these little bits happen and then suddenly we find ourselves in a different place. And so that's what I think is so juicy about squeezing the juice as well. We liberate, but then what we get from it. So we win, win, win over and over and over.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I absolutely love it. So one thing I just want to touch on is age, because I know that I really like, I'm teaching this stuff to my kids. My kids are 17 and 14. And as soon as they get their first proper job that's more than pocket money, they're going to be having their own version of wealth pie and they're going to be divvying up their income and starting investing. Because, oh my goodness, imagine if you started when you were 17. Anyway, I did Financial Freedom University when I was 46, 47. And for me, that felt, I've left it too late. It's too late for me now. What would you say to somebody who's feeling like, it's too late, I'll just have to, deal with whatever kind of government pension I get and whatever I've got in my super? Hola, amazing listeners. Before we go on, I've got something exciting to talk to you about. The Primalista license. Are you passionate about health, wellness and delicious grain-free food, becoming a Primalista could be your perfect fit. With the Primalista license, you can turn your love for nourishing alternatives into a flexible, home-based, freedom-based business. Imagine creating yummy, grain-free breads, pizzas, cookies, and more, all from your own kitchen, while making a positive impact on your community's food offerings. As a Primalista, you'll join a super collaborative tribe of wellness entrepreneurs, all committed to spreading the goodness of grain-free living. So if you're ready to embrace the world of wellness entrepreneurship, head over to primalalternative.com/license to find out more. Become a Primalista and let your passion for health and wellness flourish.
Yeah, absolutely. And this, it's quite interesting, the too late story. Actually, at the surface, we can think of it's about time. But underneath it, there's a devastating heartbreak that it's almost a letting go of the life that we know we're meant to be living. So there's this, it's almost the most heartbreaking betrayal. But we often, and again, as women, often all the way, it's impossible for us to not be in our 40s and our 50s as I am, to not have self-betrayed, to not have let ourselves down, to not have pleased and appeased and performed, to try and fit in, be safe, you know, in micro ways and mega ways. And so the story is a deeper story of, can I claim myself back? And there is such a profound opportunity, I think, sort of almost from the mid-30s right through, well, hell, you know, we've got people joining Financial Freedom University and making this decision in their 80s. But there's, I think, a key point for us women, we get to almost as we start going to perimenopause, and I know I'm deviating elsewhere, where we go, hang on, what is this about? Why am I here? What is the point of all of this? Quite an existential crisis in a way, but we're given an opportunity, and I think we're given an opportunity to really make a critical decision. Are we going to betray ourselves? Are we going to just go, our very existence, our life was the reason we're here, is we just going to let that fade away? Or we're called to rediscover who we are. And so this, have I left too late, is a deeper question of heartbreak and doubt, and remembering all the times we let ourselves down, we threw ourselves under the bus, where we didn't have our own back. So yes, there's a money element with it, but it weaves through this, are we safe in our own hands? Can we trust ourselves? And this, I think, why I love the framework and the support and the community in an environment like Financial Freedom University, it's having to almost take back our own agency and to go, time is not the question. It's, can I gather up and have a community and a courage to allow myself to make my dreams, my hopes, that my desires, the things that I really want, actually bring them back to front and center in my life? Can I stand for those? Because when we do, and as you've seen, the compounding effect of our choices is extraordinary. You know, I created my financial freedom from clueless, zero, in a depleted state in just about every aspect of my life, to having enough assets to pay for my lifestyle in 8 years. I've been financially free for 18 years now. And that exploration of my wealthiness, my who am I, my what enough, just keeps expanding. But the impact when we make that choice, and it's really, it's a choice of us to choose ourselves and choose our dream. And then we say, okay, my time, my money, and my attention is now in service of me. How do I do that? And then it's just learning some skills of investment. As I said, getting those investments growing, compounding starts growing, and it can happen really fast. But irrespective, the freedom comes from the moment we've made that choice. It's quite a hard thing to express, but there's something, the peace of mind that comes, the being able to relax. It's not only once you've achieved your financial freedom number. It literally comes from the shift from slogging, working hard, wondering if you're ever going to be able to stop. Am I ever going to get there? To say, I already am here. I've chosen me. I've taken this one step. So there's this paradox. Freedom is just one step away, always. It's saying, wow, the path I'm on is not the path to me. It's not the path to haunts, not the path to leave me living my full life. Let me just take one step. And then just practically, when we know, when we've got a very simple system to manage our money, direct it, to squeeze the juice, where there's these processes that we can automate in our life, when our investing is happening, we know what that number is, we already experience that freedom because we're no longer just wandering around, hoping we're going to be okay, wondering what's going to happen to us in the future. We know because now the plan's in place. We've got the frameworks, we've got the systems. And so there is never such a thing as too late because it's never about actually time. It's about a choice of do we dare this time really put ourselves behind ourselves? And then when we do, all the rest slots into place.
Oh, I love that so much, Anne. It's so true. It's like we're working time for money, and then unless we have some kind of miracle windfall, like winning lotto, like I hear so many people talk about that, or, you know, inheritance, there's not really any kind of, we can't really see a path of how we're going to get out of this struggle of trying to, you know, when there's more month than there is money. But I know that having done Financial Freedom University, I would say that I am not financially free yet. I would just like to say, but I do my,
as in that destination.
Yeah. But I know where I'm going, and just to have that knowing where I'm going and having my monthly money dates, which I love, I put them in my diary and I go, oh, it's money date. And everyone's like, you're so weird. You like going on a date with your money, but I do. And I get all my bank accounts and I do my pivot tables. And, you know, these are all skills that, you know, you've had to learn, but the reward of having that peace of mind that you do have your own agency, you've got your own back, you've got a plan for the future. What I've really found is it's just really helped with my sleep at night factor. You know, I'm not lying in bed thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to be happening in the world that could change our circumstances and put us at risk of something or other. So that's been really important for me. And doing the modules and going through what makes my life, what the bleep do I want, has taken down my financial freedom number by half and a bit, actually. I thought, I'm going to need this massive amount of money. And then actually, you don't need a massive amount of money if you know what it is that you want and you know, you're focusing on building your assets and paying down your debts. So it's hugely liberating. And I think that all of that contributes to health and wellness. It's reducing stress load. It's reducing the pressure. It's reducing all of the things that you talked about. So it really isn't about being wealthy and being loaded and minted and flashy and having the latest this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's truly, truly comes with wellness, you know, wealth and health. It's the same. It's one and the same, I believe. But like I mentioned, it takes work. You know, you need to learn some new skills. You can't just get a silver bullet and, oh, just do this and that's all you need to do. Like you said, there's different asset classes. You need to have a diversified portfolio. You need to learn those skills. It's a bit scary. But what would you say to someone who thinks, oh, look, that all sounds very nice, but it's a bit hard. I'm just going to go and talk to a financial planner who is going to, you know, just say, hey, don't you worry your pretty head about all of this money business, sweetheart. I'll take care of it for you. What do you say to that, Anne?
Helen, I know you, I'm grinning because like Helen knows how to poke this bear. No, this one. So yeah, there's two key things here. I want to talk about that, you know, the lottery mentality, the one thing I'm going to get, the business is going to rescue me, or the partner or the government, or I'm going to get that inheritance, or maybe there'll be a divorce settlement. The reality is over 90% of people that get in big inflow of money end up in a worse financial position, actually on paper and emotionally, because if you've never learned what to do with it, how to manage it, it's devastating. So it actually causes a huge flow out. And this is what I see so often from divorces and inheritances are the two big areas where people are either completely crippled and paralyzed into inaction. So they just sit with the money and saving. And it actually forms like this albatross around their neck. They don't know what to do with it. And this devastating paralysis, or it just exacerbates already dysfunctional money flow patterns. So we have to change and believe more money never solves a money problem. A whole change approach of understanding this ecosystem of investing patterns, what do we actually do with it, is key. And that's why it's so important we start before there's a big inflow. We can create the pattern, the psychic health, do the stuff before there's a health crisis. You know, learn your skills for interpersonal relationships before you all triggered and at each other's throats, you know, these kind of things. So this is why, just on that, trying to change away from this, I need to be rescued. And this then feeds into, this is complicated, it's difficult, I don't have the time. And the financial industry thrives on and relies on two key things: fear and greed. Fear and greed drive most of our dysfunctional patterns. And in between there, there's this beautiful enough line, which is one that I keep cultivating myself. What is my own enough? What is wealthy for me? What's enough? But also, I'm enough. And that I don't have to try and disassociate from my money stuff by hoping somebody else will take care of it and take care of me, or there's going to be this rescue event. And there's deep compassion we need to have for ourselves, because we are fed a constant story through fairy tales, through movies, that we have arrived when there's somebody who pats us on the head and says, don't worry, your pretty little head, I'll take care of all of that. And we can romp off skipping into the field and just live our wonderful lives. And there's a part of me, despite having done this for 25 years, there's almost like this dark secret that we have. And I still indulge every now and then. I go, excuse the language. I wish that wouldn't somebody else just handle this stuff, whether it's in business, whether it's some of my money stuff. And it's more this little part of me, because there's a radical self-responsibility that comes with here. There's a little part of us that wants to be the child and be looked after, don't have to make the decisions. Yet we don't really want that. We want that independence, that self-determination. And so this is like going, okay, nobody is coming. Nobody's coming to rescue us, because we're already here. The deepest call of life is for us to fully step up and go, we're already complete and whole. We've got this. We just got to claim that agency. So now if we go to that, well, I'm just going to get that financial advisor, the thread is deeply linked with, let somebody else handle this. Now, we have a couple of stories. We believe that they are experts, and this is complicated and difficult, and it's not. The financial industry has spent a lot of money and time convincing people of that, to justify crazy fees and amounts of money. They also feed on this, it's too busy, we'll handle this for you. A lot of advertising is like, that peace of mind when you've got this trusted advisor who's on your side. And so one of the things, I share is that majority of people who are, their retirement, their super, their investing is going through a financial advisor and through what we call actively managed funds, you know, which I teach a lot about, versus passive index tracker funds, lose up to 70% of what should be theirs due to this compounded effect of fees and churning. And this for me is the greatest daylight robbery happening right now to most people. And this is the cost. This is the cost of most people ending up, when they come to being having to stop working or that retirement, having to live very mediocre, mean little lives, scraping by, versus fully being able to thrive, because 70% of what should be theirs has gone to a financial industry. So we have to be eyes wide open. And this is why not. Because there's two key things. One, nobody else can take care of your health or your wealth. It's yours to do. And your relationship with money is a key part of that well-being, feeling safe and secure and being intimate with it. And the second is, you will lose so much money going down that path. And so there's just these two elements is what, just please know Understand the choices you're making, understand the full whole life cost of those. And there are absolutely certain financial advice I pay for. Tax is one, but I'd rather pay for the advice, never those ongoing trailing commissions and never these supposed wealth managers advise you, literally are just overpaid salesmen of very crap products.
Oh, it's devastating when you first realize that. I know we're just disentangling all of the things that our financial advisor set up for us a few years ago before I, you know, learned and know what I know now. So you've heard about, obviously, I'm a raving fan of FFU, but tell us about some success stories of women who have created financial freedom.
You know, we've got so many different stories. And what I love about our community is the whole unique range of what financial freedom is for each of them, you know, how they're living their lives, what they're doing, the different stages that they've started at. Some loving, you know, creating new businesses and expanding. But, you know, Andrea was in the UK and she was late 50s. She was just coming towards, you know, really considering retirement. She was feeling burnt out health-wise. She was really experiencing some autoimmune issues and this fatigue of going, I can't keep going and sacrificing her health. I've got to do something. And she went and she looked at her pension that she had and all the things she had put in place, thinking she was doing the right thing. And she describes how that day, realizing that she was never going to be, her pension would never allow her to just even maintain the lifestyle she was living, that no matter what she did. And there's just devastation of going, well, I either can never stop working or I'm going to have to so significantly downgrade the quality of my life. And in that moment, she said, no, I'm going to do another path. And like you, squeeze the juice, learn this is not so complicated. There's different assets, claim back her agency on the investment she had, transferred her pension and liberated it into index trackers out of actively managed funds. And in just 4 years, Andrea retired on more money being, she was able to feed off more from her assets than she was earning when she was actively working, and almost double what she was destined to if she'd continued on the path. And that was just 4 years. She had already some in place, but just changing and shifting that. And now she was just actually on a Q&A that we had because, you know, the Wealth Builder community, we stay in. She's been financially free, I think, 4 or 5 years now. But she's exploring new asset classes, some businesses, because also then it becomes a fun game if you want to keep going and different elements. Rachel was our biggest gainer winner from this last year. Well, your story is amazing, but Rachel is a young mother. So she's in her mid 30s. Like many sort of women start going, shit, is this really it? Got two kids working full time. She's an optimist going like, oh my God, you know, yeah, is this it? Like what the frick did I sign up for? Yeah. And she was deep in debt and just that pattern and went, hell no. And Rachel, so her story was when she realized she had ticked the box and outsourced through the financial advisor. You know, she was an optometrist, and she describes even at uni, they were signing her and her colleagues up, you know, for these deals. Like, gee, you're a professional. We can help you. Almost like a status symbol to have a wealth manager or whatever it is. And she said that outrage, that anger that she felt when she realized just how duped she was, but also her own ignorance. And that just that sense of betrayal by society, by the education system, that she had gone into debt, she had taken on investments and insurances, that there was like all these parasites feeding off her. And she didn't even know until she realized. And I think anger is such an important energy for us to allow it to be, you know, we can, it's an energy of movement. We don't want to stay in it, but I think we do have to get real about, no, there's some wrongs that have to be righted here. And she really used that energy and she was amazing. She even contacted the index tracker provider to say, well, could she even do it even without them? She was radical about going, okay, no more am I going to rely on anybody else. And she managed to liberate, like you, those investments, just radically chose to get out of debt and, yeah, just completely changed trajectory. She's still working on how to get the relationship going with her partner, because often we also find that's also really, it can be a limiter for a lot of people. And we say, but Anne, I really want to do this, but my partner's not on board, or my parents, or my siblings, or my kids. And this is where each of us also have to radically say, hang on, you know, we can either go, you know, the good old Gandhi, we have to be the change we want to see, but also go, we have to stop making others the reason that we aren't living the life we want. This is part of that radical self-love, but also I think what we're called to do, and then can bring on, because just like we'll often say, well, we don't have the time or we don't have the money, often we say, oh, well, we don't have the support of those on board, as a way of self-betraying. And we have to do that irrespective, which just a different one more story is Agnieszka. So she's in Poland and she was an architect and decided when with her, again with her kids, what else? And she decided to start an online business teaching people about, well, amazing communities that she creates for people in crafts. Completely shift. So learning how to also receive and be okay to receive money and bring that in with it was something that she loves versus something that you're meant to hate. You know, work and making money is meant to be hard and struggle with. Can you actually do it with something that you're passionate about? So she had created that, but she also got caught up in a lot of what I see in the coaching, in the personal development world, in the online businesses, you know, second career kind of identity, that there's this, she kept up leveling, and I'm using an inverted commas, in the business, reinvesting in the business, reinvesting in the next course, the next coach. And she realized she just deferred a very faulty money flow into that. She still wasn't giving herself permission to take the money out and invest and let that be okay. What is that enough? This endless, oh, well, the next bigger launch, the next thing here. And she was still living in quite a poverty struggle mindset. A lot of money was flowing through, but she hadn't learned how to actually change her life as a result of it, and caught in a pattern that I'm sure you and I have seen lots of people in that. And you know, I've been in some of the biggest digital marketing masterminds in the world. A lot of people have multi-millions flowing through their life, but none of it gets to stay. And this habit of learning how to, what's the hierarchy of where that shifts. Anyway, Agnieszka completely made that decision to shift and giving herself a pay rise, bringing that in, starting investing, and also changing that mindset that the business was now the thing that was going to save it. To know it was just one element of this multidimensional life and multidimensional assets. But then what was so great, you speak about your two kids, with her three kids and squeezing the juice, she and her partner started having these conversations with the kids around Christmas presents, around gifting. And I love the story, because with this and squeezing the juice, for saying, well, how do you get more? And her 11-year-old is now a master at trading Lego online. And they have their allowance. And it's going, well, I can go on and get a pre-loved Lego set instead of buying it more. And she said, her 11-year-old came through absolutely chuffed that, and shared how, if he bought this new, that would have been the cost of the Lego set. He'd managed to get two, and he had managed to get extra to buy something for the six-year-old as well. And this, to have this kind of clean relationship with money, not, oh, well, new is better, or I have to do it that way, or it's difficult. I think this gift that rolls out when we choose to change our pattern is just amazing. And yeah, there's so many stories of that ripple that I share with people, sharing with their siblings, their friends, their kids. When we just choose to change this aspect of our life is amazing.
And it's so relevant as well to food, when it's one of the main things I hear as a health coach and in the food space, in the wellness industry, that people want to make changes to their diet, but, you know, husband's not on board, or they won't get the kids to eat that. And I said the same thing too, you know, you've just got to focus on you, and the good stuff ripples down to the rest of the family, and to not use that as a kind of barrier to sabotage yourself from heading in the direction that you truly want to head in. So, Anne, I love you as a teacher. I think you have got the perfect blend of being really nurturing, but also the right element of kicking us up the bum as well to hold ourselves accountable to what we want to do. I love the way that all of your course is very much like, this is the concept and this is exactly how to do it. You know, you don't just tell us, hey, I'll go and set up some index trackers in your country. You know, you tell us which platforms to go on, what percentage of each different market we need to be in. So everything is very, you know, all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. And if we just follow your process, we can be, you know, well on our way to financial freedom. And I've got to share this story with you, Anne, just before we finish. I was doing my quarterly wealth date at the start of April, and I didn't even realize, but when I came out to get a glass of water, my kids and my husband are looking at me. They're like, what's happening in there? And I was like, why? And they said, there's lots of woo and woo, woohoo coming from, because, you know, you can start after a very short period of time. I mean, I'm talking like 18 months, nearly 2 years in August. It starts to, you know, first of all, it doesn't feel like much. And then you start to see things increasing, even in, you know, markets now where people said, oh, it's too late to start investing in the share market. You know, it's all going to go tits up, blah, blah, blah. Like it's not true. So that's been really, really awesome. But I know so many, I talk about you to so many people, and I'm so glad that you shared your wisdom with us on the podcast today. And I know it's going to go far and wide. But if people want to work with you, what's the best way to work with you? I know you've got a book, you have obviously Financial Freedom University, you've got mini courses like Squeeze the Juice. Tell us how we can get your amazing wisdom.
Oh, well, of course, there is a free gift for all of the Primal Alternative listeners, that is Wealth Made Simple. And that's taking through these key aspects of understanding what is your money flow, what is your balance sheet, what are these different elements, what are assets, liabilities, working out what your financial freedom number is, what do you really want, all in that. So that's a fantastic, like, kick-ass Kickstarter element in that. And then I think the first decision is just making a decision that being wealthy is a learned skill, and it's a different set of behaviors, and to be curious and playful around it. And to say, I'm going to start, you know, you'd be inspired by Helen, let's follow, or as say, get the Wealth Shift book. But this key start of just going, let me embrace and bring money closer in. And just notice the resistance to it. What's the story around that? You know, money's the root of evil. That makes me greedy, or I shouldn't, you know, it's not as important as my health. Well, there's no comparison here. It just, when we can really go, it's just a value exchange. It's one of the most important inputs that I have. And to live a great, juicy life, I'm going to choose to see how to bring this and integrate it into my life in service of me rather than slavery of me. And then, and just these little bits, be playful, be curious. And thank you so much for your feedback around, I'm very, very proud of what we've created in the Wealth Shift and Financial Freedom University in terms of this balance between practical how-to, step-by-step, and also how to automate those things, just get them in your life so that these frameworks for freedom, these routines of wealth, the quarterly money day, the annual thing, the practices, so that they just can become ways that we're being rather than this hectic, crazy, now I've got to do this. The point is to be able to live our lives, not to be enslaved by it. And so really understanding our why and the inner behavioral elements and the mindset shift that needs to happen and does happen together with the practical how is then how we create this incredible ecosystem to enable us to explore the wonder of this life that we are gifted. And there's nothing we needed to do for it. It's just a gift we were given.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful note to finish on. Thank you so much for being on the Primal Alternative podcast today. Thank you so much. I'll share all the links of how to find you on all the different platforms in the show notes. Thank you again, Anne.
And thank you for the work you do. It's just such a joy to co-create in this way.
If you want to learn how to create and sell nutritious, honest food, help more people, be part of a supportive community, and start your own home business that's in alignment with your highest values, then the Primalista license is for you. Head over to primalalternative.com to find out how this works.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.